Coming up on All About Android, Flo reviews the LG V60 ThinQ. Mike Wolfson joins us as tonight's guest, and he talks about his new collectible, the Google Sooner phone. Face unlock on the Pixel 4 now requires your eyes to be open, which is a really good new feature. A whole slew of weather app alternatives to dark sky, your email, and a whole lot more next on All About Android. All About Android is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. Yes, it's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. And by Mint Mobile. They provide the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month with their 3-month introductory plan and get the plan shipped to your door for free at mintmobile.com/android. And by privacy.com. Privacy lets you make purchases online using virtual cards instead of real ones, protecting your identity and bank information on the internet. New customers get $5 to spend on their first purchase. Go to privacy.com/android to sign up now. Hello, welcome to All About Android, episode 467, recorded on Tuesday, April 7th, 2020, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion. And 467, that is like a mouthful of episodes.
We have so many episodes.
It's more than a mouthful.
Yeah, each episode is represented by a single mouth. 467 mouths all screaming All About Android at the same time. That's a loud noise when that happens. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Preaching.
Yeah. Joining us today is Mike Wolfson, Google developer expert and frequent guest of the show. Usually, Mike, we have you on around Google I.O. either before or after, but not this year. Mm. Oh, no, not this year. And I'm sad.
Yeah.
It's ironic. I had decided this year I wasn't going to go to I.O. and I didn't request a ticket or had no plans to go. So it's kind of ironic.
Maybe it's all your fault then. Maybe because you decided not to go, it set the wheels in motion for the conference to just
not
happen.
Mike's not coming, so why even bother?
Exactly.
Once they heard, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I had heard in the past that the alternative name for the show was Mike I.O. And so when they knew that you weren't going, they're like, what's the point? So I'm curious to know, though, why were you deciding not to go prior to the event that happened that made us all not go?
You know, I have been to 11 I.O.s in a row. And it's just expensive and the difficulties with getting around. You know, at the venue, you have to take Ubers to get everywhere and stand in all sorts of lines. So that's kind of tricky. And then the other thing is, because there's so many people there, I wouldn't necessarily see the people that I want to see. They'd be at the venue, but they might be on the other side, and I just don't run into them because there are 6,000 people. So,
yeah, there's a lot of people wandering around. Yeah, all at the same time.
I think it's 10,000 people now, by the way, just to, you know, increase on that number.
Well, to be honest, now it's 0 people. But
fair.
It's going to be 10,000 maybe.
Fair. It's just the seagulls who live at the shoreline.
Yeah, they're enjoying the space right now and the relative quiet compared to what they're used to. So, it's all so sad. I wish that we were going to shoreline. My goodness, I could totally take.
We could go. That you could just yeah, you could. Jason could go.
It's probably empty.
Could meet and just stand 6 feet apart, like at least.
Stand in the auditorium or the stadium and light a lighter for the band that isn't playing.
We're just
at that
out
moment.
Front. <It's>, you know.
Don't we still have that iPad robot thing that you could go wheel around on and stuff?
You know, we actually don't. I think we got rid of that. I can't remember who ended up with that, but if we did, you would have solved the problem.
Yes.
Well, I mean, then we could have Ron, and then we could have been on the ground, like All About Android on the ground, and then all of us just 6 feet apart.
So. On the scene at Google I.O. that isn't actually happening. So what did Google announce?
You have to be creative in these times, okay? It's creativity will take you far.
So true, so true. Well, Mike, Google I.O. or not, it's always great to get you on the show. And actually, you're going to be talking about something on the hardware block that I am really looking forward to, because you got your hands on the Google Sooner phone. Super curious to pick your brain on that and hear what you think about that. That's like the very first device that ran Google from, or ran Android, from what I understand. So very curious to hear how you got it and the whole story behind that. But before we get there, we're going to talk a little bit about some news. Let's do it, Victor.
If Pixel updates were named after Eagles songs, this one would be that you couldn't hide your open eyes.
Wow.
Wow.
That was the mental image of someone stumbling through a field trying to get to the other side, you know, without falling.
But he got it.
You
got
you just
a tiny little trip there.
He landed it. And for all you Eagles fans out there, because, you know, the Venn diagram between Pixel users and Eagles fans is probably deep. But hey, speaking of Pixels, Google's April Pixel update for the Pixel 4 is going to feature something pretty interesting. Remember when the Pixel 4 released the face unlock that didn't require eyes to be open? Well, good times come to an end. The new April security update includes the option to require open eyes. This is actually first seen in Android 11 Developer Preview 2 a few weeks ago, but now has made it into the Pixel 4 update for ready for prime time. But unfortunately, the real problem now is that face masks interfere with face unlock, and that you have to take your face mask off if you want to do that. But your eyes can be open. Maybe they'll figure out a way to make it work with face masks, or hopefully not, because I don't want to live in a world where we all have to wear face masks. But but hey, look, have we ever seen something from a developer preview in an upcoming version of Android jump and make it into the current build?
Well, we had from the first developer preview. What was it? There was something in there that soon after ended up appearing in one of the Pixel updates. And off the top of my head, I can't remember what it is. I could go diving through the doc. But I believe that was one of the first times that we knew about it, probably partially because we're being led into the development process so early now with these upcoming builds of the next version of Android. But when I saw this particular feature in the 11 Developer Preview 2, that was immediately what I thought is, okay, I really hope they're just kind of like, it's in here because it's also going to be on the Pixel. Because if you're sitting on that code and you can just make it live, like that's an update that people really want as soon as possible, because people were kind of a little freaked out about the fact that you could unlock someone's phone with their face, with their eyes closed. Maybe they're sleeping or whatever, so it's kind of insecure. Other people seem to not care as much. Where did you stand on this, Mike? Did this bother you at all?
I don't actually use that feature, so it doesn't bother me, but I do expect it would make its way into like regular production soon. It feels like it's a quick path.
Yeah, it's already there. In fact, I just updated to the April security update on my 4XL. I doubt this is going to work, but I'm going to hold it up there. Down at the bottom, you can see the option right there. I don't have it flicked on because I haven't even looked for it yet, so I'll do it live on the show. It's flicked on. I done flicked it.
Wow.
Is it
breaking news or something?
Was he? Well, I don't know. Do we have the actual breaking news bumper? That's a good question. I think we do.
Oh, man.
Guys, Victor, we're already dealing with everything.
He's too busy listening to the Eagles.
Yeah,
all right.
I have to pause Hotel California really quick.
We'll take it easy. No, but I think it's, you know, if the feature was easy to roll out, and maybe easy is the wrong word, because I bet in this sort of stuff, nothing is truly easy. But if all the work and heavy lifting had been done on this, I'm happy that they chose to roll it out now instead of waiting for Android 11, which is another, 6 months away before the consumer version of the Android 11 releases. So,
Of course, that really needs to work. because that's how you're going to access your phone. So it's not, it's one of those things that really needs to be reliable.
Totally. Totally. Now, do you have the 4 or the 4XL, Mike?
No, I have the 3A and I'm holding out for the 4A. Excited about that.
What about the 4A excites you, or is it just in general because you've liked the 3A so much and it's done what you need?
Three syllables, headphone jack.
Oh, okay. That works for some of us. Not for Ron, but that works for some of us.
Low price point. I could probably, I guess, come up with a lot of different three syllable. Those are probably the two big ones, but headphone jack is really important to me.
Yeah. Right on.
Hold it on to the past. I understand.
Thank you, Victor.
Come in. Breaking news. We're all still here living through this every day.
That was clutch right there. Thank you for doing that. It goes with
the Skype lag. So.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, everything's a little laggy today. Apologies, but this is just what you get when you got four people Skyping in. Victor's the only one that's truly close to the source of the broadcast, so he'll be there crystal clear every time. What else do we have? Google Pixel Buds 2, which it's just a guess, but I'm guessing that these probably would have seen the light of day right around Google I.O. because Google I.O. at this point was supposed to be next month, right, in May. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing now is that these are starting to appear for pre-order in random places before they get pulled. It first happened last month in February. It happened at B&H. It was a listing that appeared for the Pixel Buds 2. Soon after it was removed, it didn't really give any additional information. So it really, from what I understand, I didn't see the listing page myself, but it was may have been more of like a placeholder sort of thing. And it didn't actually give any expanded information. But this most recent one, a pre-order page appeared at, ABT Electronics or About Electronics in Chicago. It has since been removed, but it had a bunch of details, which we kind of already knew a lot of this stuff anyways, because wasn't this announced at last I.O.? It was last year's...
The Pixel event,
that's mm-hmm. right. They had it listed clearly white, oh so orange, almost black, quite mint. So four colors for the wireless Pixel Buds. 12 millimeter dynamic speaker drivers, sensors that will detect when you're talking and then focus on the voice, so blocking out the background. I don't know if that's any different from noise cancellation or what that is, but that's what the article says. The special vent, which we've heard of these vents in earphones before, and it's easy to kind of jump to the ew place with a vent, like, because what's going to happen with that vent? It's going to get filled with earwax. But they say that this vent is to let in the outside world so that you're not completely shut off from everything outside. Real-time translation, sweat and water resistance, fast pair support, all the standard stuff. But the price, $179 for Google's true wireless earphones, the Pixel Buds 2. What do you guys think? That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money for earbuds. Admittedly, I don't remember how much I paid for the first Pixel Buds, which I do enjoy and still use to this day. And I don't know what the average market is on wireless earbuds, but that just feels like a lot of money.
So I would say the average market for wireless earbuds, I mean, it's all over the map, right? Like, you've got the really low quality ones that are like in the $40, $50 range.
$30. Yeah, I see some for $29.
Yeah, you can get them really low. And I mean, they do the trick, but like, I've used some of those and there's just things about them, like the fit is wrong or the battery life mm-hmm. is not very good, or the and it's strange that I even call this out because this might sound petty, but the kind of the voice that is in your ear for certain things like audio pass through on or announcing that it's low on battery, that sort of stuff. Sometimes on the lower end ones, I found the voice to be like literally a robot, like low battery, and like louder than anything you're ever listening to. So it's just kind of harsh versus some of the better earphones where it's a really nice, pleasant kind of alerting thing. But I would say this price range, $179, is not out of the ballpark when you're talking about pretty reasonable quality true wireless earphones. That's
Jabra
kind of right.
Jabra E75T, they're the same price point, $180. Those are the really popular active ones.
And those are my favorite.
But I wonder about the form factor of them. They're just not sporty like the Jabras or even the Samsung Galaxy Buds. They're like modern seeming And the, you know, what you're getting for the price is mostly that access to the assistant, which I'm wondering how much of a selling point that's going to be for folks. Because from my understanding, that's one of the selling points for the Apple AirPods. No?
Well, the Apple ones cost $199, by the way. So these are cheaper than those.
Yep.
$10 difference. Yeah, ish.
Funny, but yeah. I don't know. I'll tell you what's a deal breaker for me is the new design, because as we all know, longtime listeners know, I don't put anything in my ear anymore after getting a earbud stuck in it in my eardrum.
That's fair.
So the original AirPods were like the type that they just kind of, they didn't go all the way in. They just had a little nubbin that went in, but these are the full, it does the seal and you're sticking it in your ear, which is no go for me. So.
Mm. I can understand that. I haven't had one of those get wedged into my ear yet, though. And I'm sure if and when that happens, I'd probably change my tune. But that's my preferred method right now.
Told you what happened. It was 20 minutes into a flight across the country. I was flying back from Park City, Utah, back from New York. And just after takeoff, I took the thing out of my ear and the little nubbin stayed in. And I spent the whole rest of the flight trying to pry it out. And I couldn't. I had to go home and get someone to get tweezers and do the whole thing. I was this close to going to the ER. It was not fun. Yeah.
That sounds like a nightmare, actually. Every time you put your finger in there to get it out, it just pushes it in further.
It made it worse, yeah. And then the whole plane ride, you can just hear it, you know, like because the air pressure and everything. Oh, it was awful. It was awful. Sorry. Anyway,
so
Michael,
Mike,
what do you think of these?
Have you ever gotten stuck in your ears, Mike? I'm curious.
You know, I actually, because as we were talking about before, the headphones, what I use is I love these Shure in-ear corded headphones, which I've used forever. I've had the same basic headphones. I bought multiple pairs for 20 years, and that's why I love my my headphone jack.
Try that headphone jack with your cold dead hands. It's hard to give it up, especially when you have a pair of headphones that work for you so well. Man, I held out for the longest time, but now that I've found my brand and my model, which are the Jabras, the first the Elite 65Ts, and then now the newer ones, the 75Ts, man, it's hard for me to want to use any others when I'm like walking, you know, taking the dog for a walk and listening to a podcast or whatever. Like, I don't need the cord getting in the way anymore. And I used to be the total opposite. I've totally come around on this. So. At a certain point, you kind of get forced in that direction, and then you're like, oh, well, wait a minute. That actually isn't that bad. At least that was
my thought. Well, I thought it would be, but then the Pixel 3a came out and saved the day. Yeah. It looked like the Pixel 3 was the last generation of phone, for me at least.
Yep. You're gonna stay on the A. Stay on the A for the time being.
As long
anyways.
As I can.
Yeah. We got a few emails here, starting with this one from Flo, all on the same topic.
This one is, so we got a lot of responses last week for the Dark Sky segment. This app, it, you know, a lot of people felt really passionate about it, just like I did. I had a very emotional relationship with it. We are currently in the process of separating and just, you know, kind of like finding our way through this relationship change. Listen, the Dark Sky wanted to move to the East Coast. I want to stay in the West Coast. This is what happens to a couple. Totally. So a couple people wrote in kind of, you know, to help me so I don't have to go through the bumble of weather apps to find a new weather app. And I really appreciate it, by the way. This first suggestion comes from Ken. Ken writes in, I did some homework and parsed the list in the wiki for weather apps. I may have to drill into this to see if there are any other categories in which 50% of the entries won in the arena. So we got to find out. We got to go back. I mean, we were just saying we have, 400? What episode are we? Because I just forgot. 456, 67 episodes of apps to sift through.
And he did some of the heavy lifting here. He pulled out all of the weather apps from the show and found that more than 50% of all weather apps that ever make it into the arena win, according to... So this is a clue right here. This is like a, oh no, I'm really far behind. What am I going to do to catch up this year? Weather app. Maybe not now that we've talked about it. But here's a great list to start off with, thanks to the work that he did pulling this out. Thank you, Ken, for creating this list.
Four of them are mine. Wait, five of them are mine.
One Weather from episode 45 was a winner. Arcus Weather from episode 111.
One Weather was mine. I remember One Weather. That was awesome.
Okay, that was a long time ago. Carrot Weather, of course. I remember that one. That's the one with the attitude.
Carrot uses the Dark Sky API, so don't go for Carrot. That's going to be deprecated next year.
Authentic Weather was the snarky one, right?
I think pulled from Dark Sky, no?
Might have. I remember doing that years ago. That was the one where it was like, it's effing beautiful or whatever it was, right?
I was thinking that was a different one.
I was just going to say, I'm still using Astrospheric. The only reason that I didn't use it as a suggestion is because it doesn't have any widgets. And it tells the weather based off like astronomy. So the UI is very like astronomy first, weather second. So, but the other, you know, NOAA, N-O-A-A, they have their own weather app that you can download.
The weather timeline, that went away, right?
Yeah, I think
I wanted to give a shout out to Hello Weather from Dan Kim, who it was one of the arena entries and it was a winner.
Okay.
It was the one I was looking for to recommend today.
Hello Weather, that's right. Yes, I remember this one.
It uses multiple APIs, including Dark Sky, but you can switch it out.
That's right.
Okay. This is a good looking one. Yeah. Hello, Weather's good.
It is fascinating the number of wins that graphs have gotten in the arena. That's because also considering that the weather app that comes with an Android is perfectly fine. Like,
point you made last week, yes.
But yeah, you know what? But it's one of those things. You can always find the customized version that matches your personality or whatever it is you're looking for. You know, they all kind of have a different personality to them. But we have a few more suggestions. Actually, some of these suggestions might actually be the same, but there are other emails on the topic. So let's read them. Ron, you got the first one.
All right. Yeah. So the first one comes up from Cat Guy TX, Cat Guy Texas, I assume. He says, I personally like AccuWeather. It gives you all the basic information, including 10-day forecast. The live radar is really accurate, but my favorite feature is the 120-minute forecast. This will tell you if – I was going to make a joke about 120 minutes, but I'll stop. You if it's going to rain and the time you can expect the rain. In the display, you can also tell if it's going to be light, moderate, or heavy rain by viewing the colors on the circular display. You can adjust the display by sliding the small circle to show when light rain will become heavy rain, and it gives you a time. I used to love this feature when I worked at a convenience store and people would ask me, is it going to rain? I would go to my AccuWeather and tell them, yes, it's going to start raining in 20 minutes. Sometimes they would come back later and ask me, how the heck did you know it was going to rain in 20 minutes? Been using it for years.
Wow.
And that's fantastic. I was going to say is the favorite feature is the 120 minutes forecast, and it will tell you whether it's going to rain in 1992 on MTV or not.
I had a feeling you were going to go there.
But also that AccuWeather, I think, is the best source of weather in general. Like, that's where I go to online when I go. I used to go to W Underground, but then I do go to AccuWeather now because they just have such a great network. So that's a really good one to tap into. But considering he mentioned 10-day forecast, did you all go home and ask your Google Home to give you the 10-day forecast after last week?
It's a mouthful again.
It's a mouthful. I love it. Yeah. So 10-day forecast cracks me up. All right. Cool. Jason, you got the next one.
Yes, indeed. Tom from Frederick, Maryland said, I'm watching the All About Android 466 podcast and have a few weather app suggestions for Florence and for everyone else in Florence's position. I'm not familiar with Dark Sky, but I've been using WeatherBug for years. It allows you to choose the weather stations and includes maps, 10-day forecasts, alerts, etc. Says also check out AccuWeather and Wonderground apps. Remember the Wonderground apps as well. Please be safe out there. We don't need any of you getting sick. Thank you for the well wishes there. And so apparently we have a lot of weather. I mean, there just are. Like, weather is probably one of those categories in the Play Store that is just filled to the brim with options. So you're bound to find one that you like. They're all pulling from very similar sources. So it's really take that source and then how do you make it look? That seems to be the approach.
Listen, people love to talk about the weather. So it's no surprise that there's weather apps, riches of weather apps.
Absolutely.
Can I make a stray observation here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been watching Columbo, as you do. And there's an episode where he has to find out the weather in the past. And the way he does this is first he asks the people around him. Obviously, can't do that right now. But back then you could. He asks the people around him and then he calls the weather station and demands the record for the weather, which he can only do because he has a badge.
Oh,
I just want to put that out there. Well, that there. It used to be very difficult pre-apps. Now we have all these apps to choose from. So
we're basically all Columbo. Yeah, we're all Columbo at this point.
It's a good observation. What the weather was last week?
I don't. I don't remember anything anymore. I just remember what it looks like in this room.
These four walls, they're closing in on me, man.
These four.
All right, let's
fair. These four walls. All right.
Let's take a break and let's thank a sponsor. We're going to thank ExpressVPN for sponsoring this episode of All About Android, because all of us who watch the show, we're all well-versed in technology, and we all know how a VPN protects your privacy and security online, right? Like, we all know that. But did you know that it can take your TV watching to the next level by unlocking movies and TV shows that are only available in other countries? Listen, we're all at home. We're looking for stuff to watch. We're bored. Now's the time to break out of the United States, unlock that geofence, and discover the wonderful media that's around the world. It's only a matter of time until you run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. So you can use ExpressVPN to binge on Doctor Who or Star Trek on the UK Netflix. It's super simple. All you got to do is fire up the ExpressVPN app, change your location to the UK, refresh Netflix, and that's it. Now you're in Netflix as if you're in the UK. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. Maybe you love anime. The ExpressVPN unlocks your ability to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service, Hulu, the BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason why I love to use ExpressVPN is to watch shows, and it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, phones, media, consoles, smart TVs, and more, so you can watch what you want on the go or on the big screen wherever you are. And ExpressVPN is just great. I mean, this whole idea of changing your IP address so you can go watch things in other countries is just genius when you think about it. And on top of it, while it's doing that, it's giving you fast access, and it's also protecting you from the outside world, the threats that can come in. The VPN is your block to all that. So ExpressVPN is the way you want to go. So you want to go visit this special link right away. Go to expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. So support All About Android, watch what you want, and protect yourself at expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid.
Thank you, ExpressVPN, for your support. All right. And now we've got some pretty awesome hardware to talk about. Let's do it. Flo's got a phone.
I do, and I actually haven't cleaned it, so you're going to see it's all fingerprinty. You know, I wish I was in studio to show this because, well, it's tough to do a review over a Logitech webcam. but I'm going to do my best. I did bring some visuals to kind of walk you through. So I have here in my hand, we teased this phone last week, the LG V60 ThinQ 5G. So I just want you to chew on that mouthful. I know there's throwing a lot of mouthfuls at you today, but it's kind of the theme. It's the theme I've got going on right now.
From the branding geniuses at LG.
Yes. and I kind of want to say this phone sometimes feels like a mouthful, just tangibly. It feels like a lot sometimes, but the nice thing about it is when you're feeling like it's too much, you can just take that excess screen off. So the V6 ThinQ 5G, it bills itself as a dual screen device, but I think it's kind of a poser, and I will get into why. But first, I want to read a couple specs off for you. So just so you know what we're working with here, we have the V60 has a 6.8-inch OLED screen. That's the main screen that we're talking about right here. It's a resolution is of 2460 by 1080. So it's 1080p, which has some people complaining because it's only 403 PPI, which that's a phone that you would have gotten a couple of years ago. That's the resolution and the pixels per inch that you would have gotten. But this day and age, a little higher. So I think that's why some people are kind of like, but I can't really scale the difference. I can't really tell. I've been binge watching video on this in particular. And I will show you how I did that in just a bit with that second screen. Inside it has 8 gigs of memory, 128 gigs of storage, which is quite a bit. Qualcomm Snapdragon 865, up to 2 terabytes for that micro SD expansion. It's got a rear camera of 64 megapixels with an aperture of f over 1.8. It's also capable of 8K, 24 frames per second video recording, which is pretty great, although I can't really tell because I have nothing to play it back on. It also has a second rear camera of a 13 megapixel f over 1.9 aperture and a 117 degree field of view, and a front camera that's 10 megapixels with an aperture of f over 1.9 and a 72.5 degree field of view. It's got that wide angle look, but I'm going to tell you it's not super drastic like the way maybe previous LG phones were, which I like. So it's kind of nice and subtle, like the kind of wide angle that you would get on a SLR lens, for instance. It has an in-display fingerprint sensor, which not the biggest fan of it. I never use it because I just find it to be really finicky to use. Maybe it was the way that I registered. As you can see here on the screen, for those of you watching the video, I took a quick little video with my other phone of setting up the fingerprint scanner, and it just felt really slow. And I just can never quite place my thumb on there the right way. Maybe it's because the phone is too big for me, so the way I handle it is kind of weird. But anyway, I never use it. I just use the pattern unlock. So that's what's going on with the V60. It has a headphone jack, which is going to make a lot of people really excited. You can plug in your headphones, or you can use Bluetooth if you feel like it. Quad DAC, really high quality speakers. I feel like this has the quality of, you know, a freebie Bluetooth speaker that maybe you have around the house. So it's the kind of thing that you can put, you know, next to you as you're folding clothes, and it sounds just as good as maybe turning on, almost as good as turning on a Home Mini. Not exactly bass in that sense, but it's good for walking around the house. 5,000 milliamp battery. It took me a really long time to run this down. It took me maybe almost 5 days of just leaving it on standby. I will say that once you tack on that extra screen, the battery starts to really deplete a lot quicker than it would on its own. So just something to keep in mind. IP68 water resistance. And it comes in white and blue. I got the pretty white version, which you saw actually in the photo slideshow that we just went through. And then there's the blue one that a bunch of other folks have out there. I am more partial to the white one. It's pretty, it's pearlescent. It looks really good on its own without the case. So let's talk a little bit about that dual screen. So I kind of said that it was a bit of a poser. You have to buy that screen separately, so it doesn't come immediately out of the box. It's an extra $100 to $150, depending on where you're buying it. The phone is already between $800 and $900, again, depending where you're buying it from. So it's a little bit cheaper than maybe the Galaxy S20, if you were thinking about that. When you put the phone inside the case, it connects via USB-C, and that's how it accesses that second screen. And so from there, you can touch the screen and kind of command it with gestures as you would with the main display. So the back button, back gesture works the same. You double tap to turn the screen on, double tap to turn it off. There is a bit of a weirdness when you do that, stretching of the screen or that expandability, it's not as seamless as I thought it would be. There's a little widget that floats around on the screen that you can tap, and that will give you the options that you have inside the app for that dual screen ability. And if your app doesn't allow for the dual screen ability, you will not see that expanded view button, which is kind of a bummer. So you'll find out quickly, there's not a lot of apps that work with it, which just makes you feel like, okay, well, I guess I just have a second screen. That expanded view, by the way, is called the wide view option. It's not like the ZTE Axon M. That's a phone that we had on a couple of years ago. You are going to see quite a bit of border in the middle there, separating the two screens. So it makes it kind of odd to do the widescreen. It's not something you'd want to watch a video with. It's not something you'd want to read an article with. And I was trying to figure out if I could maybe use it in a reading mode, have like an ebook reader, have chapters, or I guess each page on each of the screens, but doesn't work with Playbooks, doesn't work with Moon Reader, as far as I know. If I manage to figure it out, I will let you know, but for now, it doesn't. The secondary display is going to also be folded anyway, so you can fold it backwards, have one screen here. Ooh, look at me. I'm using my one screen with this very big case on. When you do that, you can't use the rear camera, so front-facing only in this mode. Or if you pivot it ever so slightly, you could give yourself a little kickstand with that second display. Just be careful what you put it on, because you don't want to scratch it up. That kind of, kills the whole reason that you bought this in the first place. You can also use it to stand it up like this with the dual mode, and then maybe you're doing this while you're playing your Nintendo Switch, okay? And you have like your GameFAQs on one screen and your app for categorizing on the other. That's something that you could maybe use this phone for. I was using it with Dropbox and video editing. I really liked how seamless that was. I liked how quick it was. Again, there's 8 gigs of RAM in this thing, so no slowdown whatsoever. Very good at processing apps, opening apps. One little weirdness, though, and Victor, I think if you refresh, you might be able to see the photo that I uploaded. Or actually, there's a photo where you will see the keyboard. So one bummer is that you can't turn the phone landscape mode, so that you could maybe use the bottom display as like a keyboard. I was thinking that would be cool to be able to use it as like a virtual keyboard. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, I was trying to get it to work, but
I couldn't
figure it out. So
that's a missed opportunity, if that's the case.
Absolutely missed opportunity. And as you can see, the keyboard doesn't scale exactly, so that, maybe you could have a thumb on each screen, to kind of cycle through. I guess it's something, again, that was the Google keyboard I was using. Maybe that did it with the defaults, and I didn't try it, but sorry, I didn't try it. Couple of other little points to make. The camera. Now, I want to kind of walk through really quickly a couple photos that I took. There's a separate photo album for that, Victor. If you want to just quickly slideshow through it, I can talk us through it. Also, just have to tell you, there's gratuitous baby pics in this. So this is the opportunity that you get to see Mona here on screen right now. If you're watching the video display, this mode is one of the many portrait modes that LG lets you do. It's like a studio mode. It was in the G8. I wasn't super into it. It's a thing. Again, with the portrait mode was good, but it was nothing like the portrait mode that you would get on the Pixels. So not even in comparison, even though it's adjustable. I was doing a little photo challenge. These are some flowers I found in the backyard. And I just kind of wanted to see how the colors popped. This is a completely unedited photo. So this is exactly what I got just pointing and shooting. There's a little AI that comes into play, and it adjusts all the exposure, everything that you need from the photo to take a photo. And this is kind of what comes out. I was pretty impressed with it. I I was kind of thinking it would be a lot worse than it was, which maybe sets my where my expectations are for LG's phones. But I was pleasantly surprised that AI worked pretty well at figuring out, you know, whether it was a cloudy day, whether it was a sunny day. On sunny days, you could really tell it was a sunny day, though. So, you know, it doesn't temper any of that daylight. It shoots video up to 8K. But again, I wasn't really able to test any of that, so, or rather play it back. But I did like how smooth the video was. You've got that zoom on the back there. I tested it. You know, it's good for kind of landscape photography. You just want to get like a visual. So this is out my backyard window. And then if you go over to the next photo, Victor, I kind of tried to zoom into the fog. You'll start to see the weeds that I need to cut in the backyard. they start to sort of blur around the edges. So even though it does have that optical 10 times digital zoom ability, it's nothing compared to what you would get with an actual optical lens being able to do that. And actually, Victor, here's my baby. This is the portrait mode. And so you'll see it's kind of soft around the edges. But I didn't feel like it was doing the best job unless I had the best lighting. So definitely not like the Pixels. You want to go ahead and go to the next slide, Victor. This is just a quick little video, the baby yawning. And I just really liked how smooth that panning was. It doesn't feel jerky. The picture was clear. Definitely better than what I have with the Pixels. That's for darn sure. If you want to go to that next one, Victor. And then this, I wanted to just quickly show like the zoom ability. Victor, I don't know if this is the video is the next one. So this was the video that I took with the zoom. As you saw on that last slide, the digital zoom is just very, you know, it is what it is. And even when you're shooting video with that zoom, it's not quite clear. It's very hard to focus. I mean, you could tell it's a bird by the way it's moving in the background, but you can't quite tell what kind of bird. It's nice to have feature, I suppose, but I didn't find it to be the clearest zoom available. So we still have a lot of work to do on that front. Front-facing camera, good selfie cam. I took a little selfie before the show today. And besides that, only a couple other things to sort of bring up on the darn it side, that Android 10, it's there. The features are there, but the UI is LG's. So might trip over it a little bit. It's not the nicest looking thing. And I tried to use some launchers and some icons to make things look better, but you still have to deal with kind of overall LG interface. And also, it's kind of a really bulky phone when it has that case on. I like it better without the case. I think actually without the case, it's a pretty compelling phone, especially at that $800 price point. I think with the case on, this just makes me think, good try bringing that dual screen life to us in the Android realm, but I'm hoping that the Surface Duo will give me a better case for why I'd want two screens on an Android device. So still waiting for that use case, but I like what LG tried to do here, and it gave me a glimpse at what could be in the future. So that's the V60.
Nice. Thorough review. I will point out that
I'll give
on the
you a
LG,
mouthful these, review. Yes,
I missed the good old Flo review. That was. It's good to have you back, Flo. Now you're back in the saddle.
I know exactly. But Flo, you didn't talk about ASMR mode. There's actually an ASMR mode on this phone, apparently, according to the website.
I did have a note for that actually in my little text file that I was reading off here, but I kind of skipped over it just because I think
I just thought it was funny that it existed.
It does, yeah. There's an ASMR mode, so basically what it does is it lets you record your voice, I guess. You could just, like, record it really closely to the mic. I don't know how that's going to pick up over Skype. But
that sounded like an NPR show, by the way. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. I'm a little creeped out by the idea of me doing ASMR, but you know what? I'll try it out, and I will be uploading, like, a review to my website at Flow Feed, so I'll upload it there, and you could check it out and, you know, see what the ASMR mode sounds like.
Fantastic. So the LG V60 ThinQ is a phone that you can get right now. The Google Sooner is a phone that, well, it was basically the first Android phone. And you could actually get this not too long ago. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago on the show that somebody posted a lot of these. And I buy a lot, I think like 10 of them. I don't think it was an insane amount, but it was enough to eBay for $200. Mike, you were lucky enough to grab one of these suckers, and I'm super jealous.
That's crazy.
I want this for my little Android museum. I'm curious to know what you think of it, because you were really excited on Twitter that you were able to grab one of these devices, and you're the right person to like be able to like look into this device and really know what you're looking at. So tell us a little bit about it.
So first of all, shout out to Android Police for posting that. And I must have been there at just the right time. When I saw that, it was like a no-brainer for me because I collect old phones anyway. So I would have been thrilled to get the phone like DOA, just, you know, knowing that it's just available in the collection. But it actually showed up, you know, with a battery and fully functional and like you can actually like use the phone, which was really remarkable and really fun to play with.
So what were you excited to kind of like dive into first? Like, I have to imagine the version of Android that's on here is it a version that we've never seen before, or like, what did you find when you powered this on?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is a version we've never seen before, because first of all, this was, you know, the phone itself. I'm sorry, I didn't even like kind of show
it is.
It's all smudgy. The phone itself has no, you know, touch screen. And so the UI was kind of completely different on how you would use it and how you would go about, you know, actually using the phone. So it is quite a bit different, but it's funny, down in the core, you really can see some Android-y things that are really, really still feel like Android today, which is kind of funny. One of them, and I guess we can show it now, is the calculator, which is incredibly hard to use because this device is really small. Actually, let me hold it up in regards to like the Pixel 3a.
Ooh, wow, we've come a long way.
I'm sorry, I'm not centering it.
Yeah,
right.
there we go.
Oh my god, that's amazing. That's,
and you
totally
have the 3a or the 3a XL? Is it the 3a?
No, this is the 3a. So this is the small.
Okay. Oh my gosh, imagine that next to the V60, and it's,
you know, the thing is, it really is from a time when phones were smaller. I have like this old like Nokia. I'm not doing a good job of centering this. Sorry. Nokia funny old lipstick
phone. Oh, I remember
phone.
That phone.
All these phones are really like small. And then I have one other.
Oh my goodness! Look at that one.
What is that?
Oh yeah, this is the Zalibre. Siemens Zalibre. Again, really small. They look kind of big together, but
gosh.
And then the other one that's kind of worth kind of holding up together to this is the original Danger phone. This is
very nice.
And if you kind of, I was thinking about, I'm doing a terrible job of keeping these centered. Sorry.
You're all right. We're getting it.
You know what I was thinking about in regards to the Danger phone is it has so many buttons, and you know, it's got like a rocker and a roller. And
there we
go. Sidekick
joystick. That this was really quite simplified down from that Sidekick, which had all the buttons. This is really simplified from that. Which is,
I mean, over Skype, looking at the Sooner, it really just kind of looks like a pocket calculator, and not even a phone. Like, it's just that compact. That's so cool. So
it feels a lot like Palmpre, actually.
I was going to say, actually, that it definitely has a little bit of a Palmpre kind of size to it, and kind of the rounding of the edges. So this is the calculator app that's on it right now?
Mm-hmm. That's fun. And it's so these animations are so crazy. But we will see at the end something that I think all Android people are familiar with for sure. There
the calculator
go.
Is not responding.
Activity not responding. Force close.
and you can't just tap that force close because it's not a touch screen. So you got to go up to the little jogger.
But that is very much the core of Android right there. I thought, you know, like that particular screen I've seen so many times in my life. That's a very developer centric thing, and very much Android centric. The wording and everything—it's so fun. So
that is amazing. And so, were you surprised when you got it and it actually powered on? Like, was there battery charge, or did you have to wait for it to charge?
Oh no, battery wasn't charged. I had to charge it. Of course, fortunately, it came with a cable because it has the USB A or whatever. You know, two generations back. I'm sure I could have found a cable somewhere.
Yeah,
you know, I was speaking with Romain Guy, who was one of the original. I think you guys probably know Romain Guy. He does a lot of the public speaking.
He does the screensavers in my living room. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Right. Yep. He was saying there's no way that'll even boot. You know, you'll be lucky if it, you know, even turns on. And I said I'd be totally thrilled, even if that's how it shows up, but. There's some things that are wrong with it. Like if you look at the
just from the hardware perspective, it's cool.
Yeah, well, right here, this calculator, you can only navigate the right or left. The up and down don't even function. So there was definitely some edges on this phone for sure. But I mean, you know,
they got halfway into it and they abandoned it for the touchscreen approach.
Right. Yeah, not surprising.
Quite literally what happened, it seems like. Yeah, not surprising at all. That is so cool. I am so jealous of anyone who got their hands on this. I mean, because for $200, I just would have imagined this would have gone for more, just considering the kind of historical place that it holds in the story of Android. So you're lucky that you got it, and I'm insanely jealous, but I'm happy that you got it too, because it sounds like you have a good really collection.
So absolutely, couldn't have found a more happy recipient.
Yeah,
this
totally.
Is like from a historical standpoint. This is like, you know, at my parents' house, I have my treasured Apple II Plus my first computer, you know, and so like that, you know, when you look back on the history of devices and things like that, these are, you know, like the in San Jose, there's that Museum of Computer History and stuff like that. Like, Sooners could eventually be in a museum from a historical standpoint in terms of like the first Android phone. That's really like insanely cool that you get to own one now.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break. Let's jump and take a break, and then we'll be back with a whole bunch of. We've actually got a little bit of hard wearable news, and then some apps coming up. Mike, thank you so much for bringing that. That's a total treat. I'm so happy.
I want
get that
one.
On
I wish I got one.
So cool. So cool.
All right. So let's take a break and thank Mint Mobile. They are the sponsor of this episode of All About Android. I'm a huge fan of Mint Mobile. I've got them on my phone. I've been using Mint Mobile for a while now. And, you know, really, it all boils down to your wireless bill. Take a look at your wireless bill. You're probably paying too much on that bill. It's 2020. Network coverage has never been better. No matter who your wireless provider is, you're getting great coverage. So why pay more for the same service? And that's where Mint Mobile comes in. They can cut your bill down to just $15 a month for the same premium coverage that you're used to. And you know, that might seem like, you know, it's too good to be true, right? Like, that's such a difference from what we're used to paying. Man, when I was on Verizon, I feel like I was paying like multiples more than that for my service. This was a couple of years ago, but still, big difference in price. And Mint Mobile, I mean, their service is amazing. Their price is amazing. It really is as good as I'm telling you. And the beauty of it is you're doing this all online. And that's because Mint Mobile really reimagined how you buy wireless. They took it online so that they could pass the savings on to you. They're not paying for an expensive retail store. They're not paying for overhead. So they pass that savings on to you. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text, plus crazy fast 4G LTE. You can use your own phone within any Mint Mobile plan. You can keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. That's what I did. I ported my number over from Google Fi over to Mint Mobile. It was easily done. All my calls stream into this new SIM. It was a piece of cake. If you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered, and there's 7-day money-back guarantee, so you can check it out and see what you think of the service when you switch over. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month with their 3-month introductory plan and get the plan shipped to your door for free, meaning you don't have to leave your house. We're not leaving the house for many things these days. So the Mint Mobile fits right in. Go to mintmobile.com/android. That's mintmobile.com/android. Do that, and you can cut your wireless bill to $15 a month with our 3-month introductory plan. That's mintmobile.com/android. And we thank them for their support of All About Android. All right. Let's check out a few app stories.
Starting with you, though.
Yeah, are you? I don't know how you guys are feeling about YouTube Music. I am a little. I mean, we have talked about how we feel about it on this show, and as you know, we grow increasingly. As we are getting closer to YouTube replacing our fair Google Play Music, I feel like there's just an inevitability that we just accept what's happening. So YouTube Music keeps getting updates. And this one is an effort to make the Google Play Music users a little happier. So before, you would go to YouTube Music, you would go to an artist page, and it would show you other artists that you've also subscribed through. Well, now the subscription buttons houses all of your subscribed to content right there in YouTube Music, which I realize sounds like a complete no duh.
Probably huge no duh.
This change was made. So now artists, now you know exactly who you're listening to. And when you change songs, it also shows you songs from albums in your library and not just songs that you've liked on YouTube. So the algorithm is a little less centered on getting you further on in YouTube, and it's a little more centered on just keeping you inside the app to getting new music, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's making things a little bit more obvious that, like, when I go into YouTube Music right now and I see, you know, I go into the artists and it's just the artists that I've, like, subscribed to in YouTube. That is not at all what I'm expecting to find there. Like, I want to see my whole list of artists. Mind you, my catalog from Google Play Music is not moved over yet, as is, I think, most people right now. That switch just hasn't happened yet. So they're getting better. They're getting closer. I still don't know how I feel about it. I'm curious to know where you stand on this, Mike. Do you have a music app of choice? And is it one of these two? Or so is it
always used Play Music forever. Our movie to YouTube, and then I recently started using Spotify. The only thing that comes to mind as I see all this is that the YouTube Music is like a dark themed mode, which matches Spotify quite a bit to me. So I wonder if that's intentional or instead of being light mode.
Right. Yeah. Google's been doing all the lifting of making all their apps have a dark mode, but you're right. The YouTube Music, does it even have a light mode? Is it just all dark?
It's all dark. I've never seen it light. Yeah. I think it's all dark. Spotify's none all more dark black
as well, which is unusual.
Yeah. But it wants you to think that it's all moody and stuff. Yeah. To match the music on.
I don't want to hate it, and I feel like I'm being set up to hate it, and it's just I don't know.
I feel like this is the slow march towards Spotify, but who knows? Maybe if YouTube Music really does come through on bringing the library over from Google Play Music. I mean, they are adding the features that they said they were going to. They're getting there. It's just, man, it's taken like 2 years. It's kind of crazy how long it's taken.
I still don't have any of my music over there, and I just checked now. It's still all my YouTube stuff. Stupid. Yeah. So annoying.
Wah-wah.
Well, what's also unfortunately annoying, I don't know, it depends if you have brand affinity for Hangouts, but if you're the number one fan of Hangouts, I've got bad news for you. Your days might be numbered. So Google support doc shows that Hangouts Meet is likely to be rebranded to Google Meet. Hangouts Chat and the consumer Hangouts app would still remain under the Hangouts name, but that leads to speculation that could Hangouts Chat be renamed Google Chat? And would that be too close to the old GChat that everybody loved? Google said in the past that it plans to move users of the consumer version of Hangouts to Hangouts Chat at some point. So are these, kind of a sign, the death of Hangouts Meet? Is that a sign that Hangouts as a brand name is gonna happen sooner or later? I think it's inevitable. I think they need to. In fact, I'm surprised they haven't just cut the cord and just killed Hangouts as a whole thing. I think Google Meet is a great name, by the way. And like, yeah. I've been using it for, you know, because it ties right into your calendar if you use the Google App Suite. I've been using that to schedule meetings and using it for video calls, and it's been working like a charm. A lot better than some of the other video conferencing I've been using during the day for my day job. So yeah, I think Google Meet works. Hangouts is an old dead brand that nobody cares about anymore. So
yeah, and to a certain degree, the Hangouts name kind of does carry some baggage with it as well. Yeah. So yeah,
this is like a twist of the knife. There. Every time you see Hangouts, you're reminded of what Hangouts was supposed to be and how it didn't come to fruition. Yeah.
I don't think you can use Meet if you're not an app subscriber, though, which I ran into recently.
Oh, interesting.
Just so if you're doing it from a personal account, it doesn't automatically give you access to using Meet? You could be right.
That's what I found. Like, I was trying to set up a Meet tomorrow night for our Seder to do remotely. and I had to use my apps account. That was the only way I could schedule one. But I do want to give a shout out to Meet, which I think is a good alternative to Zoom right now. And I think I was happy that I had that reliable service to use.
Yeah, totally. It's nice to have an alternative option. I mean, at this point where there seems to be, you know, web conferences and teleconferences every way I look, it's only Twit that really seems to use Meet. Like, we use it on some of our meetings, but then with other people, you know, it ends up being Zoom. And I'm sure there's another one mixed in there. I know some people are using Microsoft Teams, and it's starting to get really confusing. Like, okay, which meeting is which software platform? I don't even know.
And it's also really interesting, I think, that this is just a byproduct of the times we're in or whatever, but like, video and audio are extremely hard, and people take it for granted, and you get the, you know, like, just using earbuds, like, you know what I mean? By having everyone on the speaker and the speaker being so loud, it's picking up, the mic is picking it up, and, you know, it's a nuanced application that bridges the gap between, you know, non-tech people and the ability to use it and not be immensely frustrated by it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's really fascinating from a user experience standpoint.
Absolutely is. Interesting to see everybody kind of being forced to learn this new skill all at the same time and realizing what works and what doesn't. Finally, Google Chrome for Android is about to become a bit more friendly to multiple displays. So this totally ties in with what you were talking about, Flo. Chrome right now on devices like the LG V60 ThinQ, when you're working with the ThinQ in the dual display mode, all Chrome can do right now is stretch the content across to both both displays. New code is suggesting that Chrome is going to soon support bringing a different tab into that other display, so you could actually split tabs. Have one tab on the right side, one tab on the left side. Maybe that makes things a little bit more more compatible or more usable. But that is apparently right around the corner. Of course, this would help the V60 with that that dual screen attachment. It would also be a big help for, I'm sure, Microsoft's upcoming Surface Duo when that launches later this year. And Google's already made it very clear, like, they really want to make sure that they're creating code in Android and their apps to my home just went off to create these apps and the experience to work better with dual screen devices. So this is just kind of part of that march. So that might help some of your complaints, Flo, as far as your experience with the LG V60.
We'll see. We still need to do that. I need to be able to hold it like a book. I just got to find something that can do it like that.
Yeah. I mean, think of all the different ways that this whole form factor happens, you know, from the keyboard perspective. I have to imagine the built-in keyboard does that, you know, stretches it across the landscape. But think of all those ways and just make that work by default on the device. If it doesn't already, that's like low-hanging fruit if you're creating a device like that.
I mean, the book form has been a part of our world for thousands and thousands of years. It's not going out of style. Don't ditch it. You don't decide. No. You could just ditch, you know, thousands of years of humanity just like that.
LG. Yeah, we're placing this all on you, LG. Not really.
Stakes are high at this day and age. Anyway.
That's true. They are very high. There's tons of stakes floating in the sky. I see them right now. Sorry, that was a really bad joke. Mike, I'm going to let you go on that joke. That's right. That is your outro. Stakes flying through the sky. No, you had mentioned that you had to bolt after the apps news. And so so we'll let you go right here. But it's awesome getting you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on, and especially for sharing your insight on all the stories, but of course, the Sooner, which is like my new wish list item.
Your new obsession, right? Your white whale.
Yes. I know. I just it's missed opportunity, man. Yeah.
Maybe there'll be more someday.
Who knows? And maybe great I'll be on Android Mike. Police when they write about it. Yeah. Always great to see you, Mike. MikeWolfson.com. What do you want people to know before you take off?
Nothing. Just stay safe out there and keep Androiding, I guess. I got nothing. Just happy to be speaking to you guys again. So nice to be out, even virtually, if that's the case.
Absolutely, man. Always a pleasure. Let's get you back on soon. Take care of yourself. Stay healthy. And we'll talk to you soon, Mike. Take care.
See you. Thanks again for having me.
Bye, Mike. You bet. Bye, Mike. All right. Let's take a break. Thank the sponsor. And then we will jump into the arena and bring three new apps to your phone because you install them all, right? I know you do. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by privacy.com. You don't use the same password everywhere, do you? So why use the same card number when you shop online? Especially right now, we're doing a lot of shopping online. If you're buying anything, you're probably buying it online. Privacy.com gives you a brand new virtual Visa or MasterCard number for every purchase that you make online. You can download their browser extension from the Chrome Web Store, or they have an Android and iOS app, and you link your virtual cards to your U.S. checking account or debit card. And that enables privacy to take control of your finances with you. So you can do things like set a spending limit. You can set a spending limit on a particular virtual card so you can control your subscriptions, control reoccurring payments. Basically, you say at this point, at this number, no more charges can be made on this card, and it stops. You've reached that limit. It won't happen. Never worry about forgetting to cancel your subscriptions or your free trials ever again. You can make sure that you're never accidentally billed twice or upgraded without your consent. You could create a card that pays for just the service amount for that subscription or whatever it is. And then when they try and renew, there's no more left on the card. They can't renew. And so you're covered. You're done. With their card sharing feature, you can easily and safely send someone a privacy card straight from the dashboard in just a few clicks. This is currently for desktop only. Really awesome feature. No more copying, pasting, or screenshots. Your recipient won't need a privacy account to access the shared card. You just click the share button when you're viewing a card, enter an email address to share to, and privacy literally just handles the rest for you. This is all about security as well, so you can feel safe about making purchases anywhere online. Privacy is PCI DSS compliant, held to the same security standards as your bank. So sensitive information is secured using military-grade encryption. That means your information is encrypted using split-key encryption with partial keys held by separate employees. No single person can access the sensitive information on the server because it literally requires multiple keys to decrypt. Privacy does not sell your data. Your information is safe with them. And with their free personal plan, you can create up to 12 cards a month. Secure, merchant locked, single use, or you can choose between their two paid versions. There's Pro and Teams. Pro is just $10 a month. You get access to everything that's included with a free personal plan. But you also get 1% cash back on all purchases and 36 cards a month. And if you happen to own a small business, or say you're in charge of a team, the team's option is just $25 a month, and you're going to have access to everything that is included in the pro version with the addition of a dedicated account manager, 60 cards a month, and transaction limits tailored to your business needs. And I'm telling you, this, the whole process is just super easy. You sign up for an account, you create a card, Like you've got literally a virtual representation of a card in the dashboard. You tell it how much that card is worth. And, you know, obviously it links to your debit or your checking account. And then you use that card like you would any other purchases online. And once it reaches that limit, you could choose to expand it, or you just let it cut off and that card is done. It's really cool. So just head to privacy.com/Android and you can sign up for a new account. As a special treat for our viewers, new customers will automatically get $5 to spend on their first purchase for a limited time only. And that is free money right there. So go to privacy.com/Android and sign up now. We thank Privacy for their support of All About Android. All right, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Android Arena. Last week's poll. Holy cow! This was a four app race. Really super close. And looking at it right now, it looks like X Icon Changer wins.
Oh,
ekes
wow
out a win at 29% of the vote. Let's see here. Second place is it Hobby? I can't remember. Hobby or Hobie? Hobby.
Hobie. I say Hobie.
Okay, yep. 27%. So you got second place win on that. Missile Command Recharged, third place at 23%. And Live ATC was Ant's app, fourth place, 20% of the votes.
So with 13 weeks of voting and that last place placement, our good friend Ant Pruitt is in last place in the standings with 23 points. Guests are in third place with 26 points. I'm in third place with 27 points. Flo is in second place with 28 points. And Jason, you are in first place with 32 points. And it's important to note that there is only 5 points difference between me in third place and you in first place, Jason, and only one point difference between Flo, me, and the guests. So it is like, I mean, the arena standings right now are just the closest I think they've ever been.
We need, yes.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very exciting. And the fact that it's just – the fact that it's just the three of us, it's the, you know, we're going to pull away from the guests a little. We're going to continue to pull away from Ann. And I mean, if I come in first, Jason, we can be tied for first place. Flo could retake the lead. Anything can happen. Anybody's game. This arena might be the most important arena of 2020 to date. So just think about that.
Thank you for talking it up so much. It's totally appropriate.
No
for the level of importance for this arena.
Yep.
So I guess that means I go first, Ron, you go second, Flo, you go last. I recorded a walkthrough for my app and set it to upload.
Smart.
Apparently, like, my upload speed is just awful here because it never finished uploading. So Victor, next to my app, I'm going to use the thing that Ron has too. So I have a link in there to use, what is it, Screen Leap?
I got it.
It's called Screen Leap. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So that's the name of the app that we're using to cast our apps, or at least we're going to try it out and see how it works. The app that I'm reviewing today is an app that came out yesterday called Quibi, which, when you break it down, stands for Quick Bites, I think. That's kind of the idea. Yeah. So I'm not necessarily bringing this to the arena because I think I'm going to watch a lot of this content, but I think they're doing some interesting things. Quibi is a video streaming service launched yesterday. It stands for Quick Bites, from what I understand. That's kind of the idea. And it's not necessarily an app that I'm bringing to the arena because I envision myself watching a lot of this content in my spare time. But I'm bringing it to the arena because I think they're trying something different with media on phones. So this is a paid for service similar to something that you might get through like Netflix or whatever. I think it's a 90 days free and then $4.99 a month with ads or $7.99 a month without ads. And it has a bunch of exclusive content made for the platform. Some of this, you know, what you're looking at right now is kind of the user interface for kind of, you know, this is like the For You tab. I could go to browse and show a lot of the different shows that they have here. Fresh Daily, which is a Rotten Tomatoes show. Punked. They have like motion, like films, something called The Most Dangerous Game, which if I go here, it's probably not going to play the media because I think that's going to be blocked. Yeah, so you won't be able to actually see that's a software a DRM protection, so you won't actually see the video playing. So, which is unfortunate because some of this content is actually really well produced. And I think what's interesting about what they're doing is they've created it for mobile only. So you can't get this content onto your big screen. So they're really locking themselves into like smartphones, essentially. And depending on how you're holding the phone when you're watching a movie or a video or whatever they call it, a quick bit, I don't know what they actually call it. If you're watching in portrait and then you move to landscape, it basically crops differently depending on how you're watching it. So it's almost like you get a different view of the content when you're watching in portrait versus watching in landscape. And this is where I really wish that my pre-recorded thing had worked because I showed it off. It's hard to describe it. But when you're in portrait, you might just be getting that person talking framed perfectly in the center. But then when you switch to landscape, you get everything around them, if that makes sense. So you get kind of like the widescreen view when you switch to landscape. You get more of the portrait view when you're in portrait mode. And there might be some video on the Play Store page that kind of shows this off. I don't know that I looked into that specifically to see. But it's definitely a unique approach. You know, is it going to work? I'm not really quite sure. I think for an app and service like this that is so heavily leaning on mobile entertainment in a time where we're locked at home looking for ways to watch things, that we're looking at our TV sets more than we are at our phones to do that. It's probably the worst timing for a service like this to launch. But if you kind of flash forward or flash back to a time where we were doing a lot of commuting and we were riding the train a lot and stuff like that, this content is really created, designed around the idea that we're creating content that you can watch in like 10 minutes, start to finish. And I don't know if it's going to work, but it's definitely a different take. And there's a lot of recognizable names attached to the content that's on here. So if anything, it's worth checking out. You get 90 days free. And I'll give you the tip on this. Subscribe, right? You go through the app, subscribe. That's going to put it into your your Google Play Store subscription page. And then immediately cancel. You'll still get the 90 days, but it won't renew automatically. Remember to cancel, though, if you really don't want to get to pay for the subscription after 90 days, cancel immediately. Then you don't even have to think about it, but you still have the 90 days and you get the 90 days to check it out and see what you think. And maybe you get to the end of the 90 days and you're like, actually, that's really cool. And you can subscribe to it, but that's just a little tip.
Here's the thing about this app, and that I know it's controversial and that sort of thing. And I do think that the portrait to landscape stuff is really innovative and really fascinating, and that nobody's playing with it in that way.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why you commit to the mobile platform. You just don't put a Chromecast icon on here. You know, like if I want to watch it in landscape on a TV, why are you not letting me do it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's literally a show on here. Like, I laughed when it launched because I have no interest in Chrissy Teigen or Chance the Rapper doing Punk'd or any of this nonsense. But then there's a docuseries called Shape of Pasta, and that's content for me. I want to watch that, but I don't want to watch it on my phone.
Content.
Yeah, I want to watch it on the TV. Why are you not letting me do that? Stupid.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe that's a lesson that they're going to learn, you know, and especially right now, like, you know, maybe that's something that they're forced to bake in that functionality and make a mechanism that allows for that. But, you know, I'm guessing going into the planning of this, they were like, hey, we're all on our smartphones, so why don't we just go all in on smartphones? And, you know, maybe that made sense, but we're realizing right now that that isn't always the case. So maybe they'll be forced to kind of take that, because some of the content on there actually looks really intriguing to me. Some of the, like, the dramatic content that I saw looks interesting. But the idea of just watching it all on my smartphone, like, I get that works for some people, but that's not my preferred. My preferred is to throw it up on a big screen TV. And just is. So I would love to have that option too.
It just seems short-sighted. It's crazy.
But, or it seems like a kind of something that they did to catch attention, you know, to get your attention. Oh, but we chose not to support that. And right. I could kind of see where they were coming from. But, you know, yeah, we'll see what happens. It's called Quibi, Quibi.
And yeah, check it out and see what you think, especially the kind of portrait to landscape thing. When you're playing around with it, when I was watching videos like that, I couldn't not do it because you get a different view of everything that you're watching. I have to imagine the processing, like the amount of time it takes to kind of format each show for both formats is got to be kind of time consuming.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I'll let you in on the trick. It's if you shoot everything at 4K, it's so high resolution, and that as long as you do the shots and the you set up the shots so that there's a singular person in there, you know, yeah. that it can you, like, imagine almost in your viewfinder you have the landscape shot and then the portrait shot, and as long as you're keeping the primary subject in the portrait thing, you're catching everything else around the landscape thing, and all they're doing is. And it's almost as if it's like Choose Your Own Adventure. There's two streams of video. And so they're using their logic to say, okay, it's portrait, show stream A. Oh, it's landscape, so show stream B. That's how they're doing it. It's not super magical, but it's just the fact that no one thought of it or no one has like done it. So they do get points for being innovative in that regard.
And not just that nobody has done it, but nobody's also like spent the time to create a whole content channel around that delivery mechanism, which is really what, you know, a large part of what they've done. It's not just the fact that it does that, but they've created content that's tailor-made for it. So that's a gamble, and we'll see if it actually works. But it is intriguing nonetheless. So, all right, Ron, you're up next.
Cool. So, you know, I love my utility apps, but we've talked a lot about dark mode and things like that. But one thing we lost in the whole dark mode conversation was brightness control. You know, whether you have dark mode on or dark mode off, different apps work on different brightness levels. And I found sometimes there's some apps, ooh, too bright, I want to turn it down and that sort of thing. And while I do have the adaptive brightness on my phone to pick up the light around my environment, there are some apps that I find myself always adjusting the brightness back up to turn it up for whatever reason. And then when I saw this app, I actually ran into it this morning and quickly scrapped the app I was planning the show because I thought this was so interesting. It's called Brightness Manager, Brightness Per App Manager. And so essentially what it is it allows you to – and there, look at that. You can see my screen. How cool is that? It allows you to specify the brightness for every app. So this is showing all the apps I have installed. And let's say for Amazon Kindle here, you can turn it off or turn it on by just tapping the little switch on the side. I'm going to turn it on. And when I turn it on, it brings up this little dialogue. And I can choose to have it be auto brightness. Or I can turn auto brightness off, and I can set the brightness level myself by just scrolling on this little guy. Also, very cool UI kind of interface. You see the little the horizontal scroll bar, how it kind of like bends when you do it. Like that is such a neat little trick to show that you're actually controlling that line. I thought that was pretty neat. Good design. But yeah, so you can specify the brightness level for that app, and it will save it. And so when I go to the Kindle app, it's hard to tell here, but it will adjust the brightness to the level that I set to. So I gotta turn off the auto brightness. There it is. But yeah, so that is Brightness Manager. It's pretty cool. It will actually, oh wow, it just, I did it and it's hard to tell, but it just adjusted the brightness back to what my setting was, which is kind of cool. So, sorry, I know I'm flashing around to the apps a lot, but I'll show you. So we go here, and it's not coming through on the screen. Anyway, so trust me, the brightness is adjusting. So you're able to do that. If you go into your settings, you are able to, you know, you can enable the default brightness setting there along at the top. You can also... do a notification when you're adjusting the brightness changes. And of course, they have a dark mode for their own app as well, which, you know, every good app needs. It's pretty simple and it gives you that little control. The switch up at the top basically turns off the app completely. So the controls that it's doing won't overwrite what's going on with it. So it's a single switch to turn it on or turn it off. And you can see up in the notification bar, I have Brightness Manager is running. So if I turn that off, the little notification goes away. So Brightness Manager, get
granular app level control over the brightness of your apps on your phone.
Nice.
And it's brightness. And it's not 99 cents in the Google Play Store. But and I see, Victor, I see what you're doing, by the way. That was very clever. but 99 cents in the Play Store, and it's totally worth it. And you support your devs, and it's a great way to get more control over your phone.
Ron was in dark mode there for a second.
I was.
Very nice. Brightness Manager. Check it out in the Play Store. Good pick. All right, Flo, what is this? What you got?
What do I have? Well, I brought something. So actually, not that I want to do technical setup on live on the air right now, but I just want to, I just dropped a link for Victor. So I don't know if Victor wants to check to see if that works. So I brought, this is going to be interesting, by the way, just this whole screen share thing. I brought Starwalk for kids. It is, I was thinking, you know, this might be a good time, you know, you're stuck at home with the kids. I know that it's been really hard for parents to kind of keep the kids interested in what's going on right now. So I was thinking, you know, maybe your kid didn't do a full day of school. Maybe you want to reward them with something. I don't know. But I feel like this would be something really fun that parents and kids can do together at night, just kind of like stave off all the time that we are spending indoors right now. So Starwalk Kids is basically the companion app for Starwalk, but for kids, and it is made and geared specifically for Tykes. It is free with your Play Pass subscription. So another one of those things, you know, I'm trying to figure out what my membership is good for. And I saw this app pop up and I thought, oh, this is so cute. I actually like this app because it's a lot easier to use than Starwalk. Sometimes Starwalk feels a little overwhelming for me. I also think this app is really cute because it has helpful videos that your kid can watch to learn about space. So you can go into the solar system like video section. And so everything is unlocked here. And let's see, I want to learn about Earth because I don't know about Earth. And I, you know, I want to talk to somebody about it. So I would tap into Earth and it'll tell you position from the sun, its size relative, how many moons it has. And then you can watch, let's see if this comes through, a little video, and there is sound and narration. And there's a voice just kind of walking you through. It's as if you were at a planetarium and you were listening to the video that was playing, you know, and watching something on screen. So that's kind of nice. And then you'd go to the main screen. And it works just like regular. Let's see if this works in real time. Oh, it does. I'm sorry. I'm also very impressed with this app that Ron pointed us to for broadcasting our screen. I'm pointing my phone up at the roof right now in my house, and it is showing me, what is that? Let's see. Let's find out. Okay. It's so I'm going to tap on it, and it's showing me it's Ursa Major. And okay, I want to learn about this. So I would go ahead and tap through to the info card. It'll tell me how many stars it's part of this constellation, what the brightest star is, what its Latin name is, and then I can watch a little video about it. So we're going to go ahead. I'm going to learn about Ursa Major. It's going to tell me about all about it, you know, what its neighboring apps are. I don't know if you guys can still... Oh, you know what?
No,
I might
the
be
video
doing the same DRM. It. Yeah, yep. The same yep. DRM thing. Well, that's fine. All right, so you go back to the main screen. I don't know if it's working anymore. Gosh, darn it. Basically, it's an app to help space exploration with your kids at night. If you have Play Pass, you get all of that stuff that's unlocked. And it's just a fun way to explore space. And if you are, like me, sometimes a little overwhelmed by Starwalk, this is also nice because, as you could see, all you have to do is tap on the constellation or the planet. It'll tell you about it, and you can quickly learn about what is up above. And since, you know, we're nearing into springtime, I feel like this is a good time to start looking up at the stars, and kind of reminds you that we're not alone. There's so much more out there than just the four walls that we've been kind of confined to these last couple of weeks. So, yeah, Starwalk with kids.
There's more than meets the eye in that space.
And it's $1, by the way, if you want to buy it outright.
Nice. Love it.
Cool.
Starwalk Kids. Excellent pick. All right. So twit.to/AAApoll467 is where you can go to place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Quibi, Brightness Manager, or Starwalk Kids? twit.to/AAApoll467. Victor is circling. We don't know.
I knew it. I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah. Victor is a space freak.
So if this
I was going to think you were going to say space nerd, but space freak sounds
works.
Space freak sounds more edgy. I like that, space freak. So if the screen leap works, mostly, do I get any bonus points in the arena or what?
I don't know. I think maybe you need to bring screen leap to the arena next week.
I didn't think about that.
How do you show off screen leap with screen leap?
Oh, it's screen leapception.
Could you do that? Yeah. I don't know if we would let you.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to spoil the review, but there is a way to do that.
You're right.
Using another device.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, everyone can tune in next week and find out if Ron really does bring screen leap. I think you probably have to at this point to the arena. But that is it for this week. Once again, big thank you to Mike Wolfson for joining us for as long as he could tonight. Really great to have him on and to talk about the Sooner. And always great to see you guys casting in from your houses and Victor from the studio. Thanks for hopping on. Flo, what do you want to leave people with?
Of course, head over to FlorenceZion.com to the Flow feed. I am updating it. I just recently answered a question. A couple of you have been sending in questions about baby stuff. So I've been answering them, you know, being that I just went through the experience. So why not? I will be posting the LG V60 review up to FlorenceZion.com. And then while you are there, you have links to all the podcasts I'm on. I'm on this one. I'm on Material Podcast and the Relay FM Network. I have my own podcast, honestlytechpod.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at OhThatFlow, where I just talk about stuff on my mind.
About things and life and whatnot. Very nice, Flo. Good to see you. Ron, what's up with you?
See you guys.
Yeah, so continue to follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at RonXO. Last week, I shared with you guys the link over on Marvel.com where we list the comic book stores and ways that you can help them in this time. If you're looking for a more specific way to help comic book stores, my buddies over at iFanboy launched a very cool t-shirt available over in their Threadless shop. Victor, I have the link there. But if you go to ifanboy.threadless.com, it is a brand new design called Stay Home and Read Comics. those of you who know design probably recognize the inspiration, the keep calm and carry on from the British World War II poster. But yeah, so proceeds of these t-shirts go to help comic book stores, directly. So, it's been selling great and Threadless has everything on sale right now. So you can get it for $3 off the list price and iFanboy still gets, the full price that we would make to send it to a comic shop. So it definitely helps out. So if you want a cool t-shirt and want to help comic book stores, this is a fun way to do it.
Nice. Love it. Yeah. Stay home and read comics.
Yep.
Cool. Good to see you, Ron. Also good to hear your voice, Victor. Thank you for pushing buttons on today's show.
Thanks. No problem.
Appreciate it. You can find Hands on Android, twit.tv/HOA. Last week's episode was basically a look at the S20. And how I like to set up my Galaxy devices when I get them, undo some of the stuff that Samsung does on there. So that's twit.tv/HOA. Got a new episode coming out this Thursday that you can look for. A bunch of free media that you can find for Android right now to kill the time. That's this Thursday. Also, Tech News Weekly with Micah Sargent
And we're busy booking that up right now. So we have some great interviews for Thursday's show. But that is it for this week. This show publishes every Tuesday evening once Victor is done making it all ready for your eyes and your ears. twit.tv/AAA is the show page. Go there and you can find all the ways to subscribe to All About Android. Audio, video, there's links to the YouTube channel. Everything you need can be found right there. That is it for this week. We appreciate you guys coming back each and every week. We hope you're happy. We hope you're healthy. And we will see you next time on All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.